the local participants. And we proposed using a virtual net metering model for the project. And so, and under our proposal, the facility would be located somewhere in Franklin County, connected to the utility's distribution grid, and that the energy generated would be allocated to each of the participating agencies through their metered accounts by the utility. And with a virtual net metering model, that would allow the energy produced to be allocated to each of the participants as if it was located on their buildings, offsetting their electric consumption from the utility. And it also, virtual net metering allows a solar facility to be net metered, which is not located on the facility or at the meter that it's serving. Additionally, it allows multiple participants to participate in one project. In traditional net metering, you have the solar array connected to the meter that it's serving on the building that it's serving. And so the virtual net metering would allow this type of project to be developed to serve multiple customers. And so we determined that a 20 megawatt project would save the four participating agencies about $1.2 million a year in their on their electricity costs, by virtue of, we estimated that the as we proposed the project, we envisioned that the city, the county, and the school districts would issue an RFP for a private developer to build the solar facility. And I guess I should have made clear at the outset, Apogee is not proposing to build and develop this facility. We presented the idea as a concept that we think is in the community interest, but we're not seeking to develop it. We don't have a financial interest in the project. And so we envision that the city, the county, and the schools would collaborate to put out an RFP and find a private developer to build and develop the project. And that the developer would be the long-term owner of the facility. And so they would pay for the cost of developing it as well as maintenance long-term. And based on data about the price of solar RFPs in the Southeast and the Midwest, we conservatively estimated that the price of the RFP would be 4.5 cents per kilowatt hour over a 15 to 25 year timeframe. And based on that 4.5 cents per kilowatt hour, that's one half of the current retail rate these agencies are paying. And so that worked out to $1.2 million in annual savings for these agencies. And so because they have different loads, the savings aren't equally shared. The city of Frankfort would save about $600,000 a year. The Frankfort School District would save about $60,000 a year. So in our report, we detail that. And also note the economic development benefits that would occur by having a $25 to $35 million facility built in Franklin County. And we note the carbon savings as well. The Frankfort Plant Board, the local utility, gets all of its electricity from Municipal Energy Agency, the KYMEA, which is primarily generating its power from coal and natural gas PPAs. And so the carbon savings would be over 23,000 tons per year. And at a $40 per ton carbon price, if that were to come down the line someday, that in itself would provide a savings to the utility of over $900,000 a year. In terms of the peak demand and energy savings the utility would see, their savings, as we analyzed it, would be on the order of about $1.8 million a year. And so that's as a result of reducing their monthly peak demand. And so but they also would be losing revenue because they wouldn't be selling about 30 million kilowatt hours per year to these four agencies. So their revenue decrease would be about $2.6 million a year. So they would be saving about $1.8 million in wholesale power costs. So there would be a deficit for the utility and of about $800,000. So the way we described this in our report was that this is, you know, there's an overall benefit for the community that ranges from, well, the energy savings for the community would be about $1.2 million. So if the utility said, well, we're a municipal utility, we exist to serve the community, this is beneficial for these agencies that are supported by local taxpayers who are our customers, we're okay with that, we'll do it. There'd be a savings of $1.2 million to the community and these agencies. If, on the other hand, the utility said, well, we don't want to be short $800,000, we want that back, the agencies could refund that and still be ahead $400,000. But there could also be discussion about, well, what are the other benefits that the utility receives? Well, it's a hedge against future carbon pricing. If a carbon price is imposed that's at $40 a ton, the utility would be seeing an additional $900,000 plus savings annually. So additionally, the KYMEA, the supplier, the wholesale supplier of our local utility, is doing an IRP at this time and investigating how they're going to meet their future power needs. They're looking at 130 megawatts of coal and natural gas going off their portfolio next year, and they're evaluating how to replace that. And there is some interest in investing in new natural gas generation. And so we're also arguing that investing in new gas generation is a bad idea for multiple reasons. And they would risk locking our community into a future stranded asset. So the value of avoiding that, 20 megawatts of solar would help reduce the load that they need to serve and reduce their incentive to purchase new fossil supplies. And so that's a value for the ratepayers and the utility as well. So these are the, we've set out these costs and benefits for the community to look at. And since we released the report in March, we've met with the mayor and city commission, the county judge executive and his commission, as well as the superintendents and school boards. And likewise, the initial reaction to the from the utility was, well, this is interesting and we need to evaluate it and we'll get back to you. And then they decided to hire a consultant from the firm Burns McDonald, no relation to me. And the Burns report came out a week ago. And I can discuss what they had to say later. So right now we're at a point of responding to the Burns report. And I will, that's kind of a thumbnail sketch of our proposal. And so I'll stop there and we'll welcome any discussion, follow-up questions.
Hi, Andy, this is Vu. I really appreciate getting that recap from you on this. Just for my own understanding here, the KYMEA, they're essentially like a supply cooperative, right? They don't really own any steel in the ground. They contract transmission, they're contracting supply, and it sounds like it's a cooperative, but all of the member cities or municipals who are part of KYMEA essentially share in the benefit and risks associated with participation in KYMEA. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it one of the things that jumps out for me is they're developing an IRP plan. And to me, that is they're not doing nothing more than essentially saying, hey, if we continue to serve the members, you know, the existing members, what's the best way to, you know, do that supply purchase and procurement, right? And it would seem to me though that, for example, the city of Frankfurt could choose to reduce their purchase from KYMEA and at least make that known and eventually sort of, you know, develop a plan to transition out of that, right?
Yes, part of our argument is that the KYMEA is at a point where they may not need to purchase any more power or enter any new contracts to meet their customer loads.
Right.
And if Frankfurt takes 20 megawatts of load off the board, even less reason for KOAMEA to do that, which in terms of being obligated to pay for new power supplies, we think is an advantage for their members.
Out of curiosity, Andrew, and that is in your presentation was excellent. Your project is excellent. Does KYMEA feel threatened as a consequence?
I would think so. Walt and I have been jousting with the KYMEA since they formed about 5 years ago. And we gave substantial comments to their IRP process several months ago. With a local community organization, we hired Synapse Energy Economics to do some analysis of their IRP. And part of Synapse's recommendation was that they look at, they evaluate their customers putting in local distributed generation and how that would benefit the agency. My impression has been that KYMEA is still committed to the old-fashioned utility business model of owning generation and selling it, or owning contracts and selling power. Mm-hmm. In the study that the Frankfurt Plant Board got back from Burns McDonald, didn't actually analyze our report or our specific analysis. They gave a generic response to why net metering is a cross subsidy from other ratepayers. And they gave a lecture about modern rate design and how fixed costs are not recovered through conventional rate making, and urged the plant board to move to a different rate structure that recovered all their fixed costs through fixed charges, and advised them not to support our proposal.
And just out of curiosity, does the town have a climate action plan?
No. However, about 12 years ago, the mayor did commit to the mayor's agreement for climate protection, but they haven't really done anything formal beyond that. But we think the mayor, I mean, we think our local officials, we've gotten the sense that they're supportive and would like to do this, but there is a temptation to defer to the experts or to defer to the utility. And we're trying to navigate that whole dynamic.
I think in terms of the execution, that makes a lot of sense, mm-hmm. right? Is deferring to those who work in the utility. However, being that the customers, the city, the government agency, the city agencies here, the schools, for example, they have a preference, and much of this is essentially backed by the ratepayers or taxpayers as well. It would seem to me that there's an opportunity for them to express the preference on this, right? Still let the utility be the expert at this, but express the preference on that. And so I like Manir's question regarding the climate plan, because it made me think about, is there a climate action committee, right? Which can be made up of the folks from the different agencies and citizens and residents of City of Frankfurt to express, you know, that preference.
Okay, Lynn Arthur has a question. So Lynn, go ahead.
So I'm curious about the long-term contracts that they might have commitments to, and what happens to that obligation in this scenario? Who bears the cost of that? You know, if they break away, then how does that get recovered?
Well, we're not recommending that they break away from their long-term contracts. That pursuing this project, this 20 megawatt solar project, would not cause them to abrogate any of their existing contracts. It simply would reduce their load. And speaking of the KYMEA specifically, their current customer load is around 290 megawatts, but they have over about 350 megawatts of committed capacity, but 130 of that is expiring in 2022 or 23.
Oh,
and so they're seeing that their contracted capacity is actually coming more in line with their actual load. And so from the way I understand it, and Walt could say some more about it, this project locally, our proposal would make it easier for them to just not have to contract for new capacity. But it shouldn't violate any terms of their existing PPAs.
All right, Lynn Arthur has a question. Or no, I'm sorry. Larissa Dobryansky, go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we're good,
I was having some problems. Really found very interesting your, you know, first your initiative here and raising this, you know, within your community and all. You mentioned Synapse. You know, I was thinking, listening, you know, that the, I think the recruitment of Burns and McDonnell on the one hand, if Synergy has taken an interest and sees the benefits of what you're doing, they've been doing, I mean, superb work. They're nationally known in terms of benefit cost analyses. You might want to consider them maybe peer reviewing what you're doing and in line with what they're doing nationally, because they may be able also to offer ways to even buttress further some of your recommendations to minimize some of the downsides, you know, in terms of current vested interest. So anyway, I'd encourage you look at that. Have you discussed further your proposal with them? And you mentioned some of their reactions, but I think they could be a good force. I don't know, last comment, they were one of the key authors of the National Standards Practice Manual on, you know, benefit cost analyses of DER. And anyway, how have you vetted this with them? Do you think they could be a supporting force?
We vetted an initial draft with Synapse and got comments and feedback from them. And we made adjustments to our proposal following that. Since we published it, we've not gotten commentary from Synapse. Although the commentary they gave to their IRP was partially informed by their understanding that we were pursuing this project. but I appreciate your recommendation and some further feedback.
I think Tim Wolf, do you know Tim Wolf?
No, I've worked with Tommy Vitola.
He's the head of Synapse Economics, and I just take a chance and reach out to him. I think he'd be most interested in what's going on here, and particularly that the local Synapse had looked at your proposal.
Okay, you said that was Tim Wolf?
Tim Wolf, W-O-O-L-F, and Synapse headquarters is in, I believe it's Boston, Massachusetts.
Okay, thank you.
Peter Millman, you have a question?
Yeah, I have two questions. First of all, a great presentation, a really interesting project. Are there any other municipal utilities that are part of KYMEA that are supportive, that are doing anything like what you're doing, or are out potential allies? And the second question is, I would be curious to hear more about what the Burns report said and what your response to them is.
Okay. In terms of the other utilities, KYMEA has about 10 members, and eight of which are all requirements members that have to obligated to purchase all their power through KYMEA. The only one that might be sort of sympathetic is the city of Berea is a small city. They're not an all requirements member, but they are a member that gets some transmission and a little bit of capacity from KYMEA. About 10 years ago, they put in a community solar project, which was the first in Kentucky. And it serves, it's like 30 or 60 kilowatts. It's pretty small. But their utility board management is really not particularly progressive. So essentially, we don't have allies among the other members yet. Regarding the Burns report, they talked a lot about how the plant board does not recover all of its fixed costs from the energy charges. I think they conflated or created some straw man distractions by talking about how a rate structure that has a customer charge and an energy charge, which is what these the city, county, and the school districts have a rate structure that's just like the residential rate structure. It's a basic service charge and a kilowatt hour charge. And Burns argued that the FPB is not recovering all of their fixed costs, capacity costs, and therefore they should change their rate structures. And that as a result of our project, they wouldn't be recovering all of their costs, but they completely disregarded the basic math that we provided, which showed the plant board would recover $1.8 million in savings through this solar facility. And even if, and the they'd recover one point, I'm getting my numbers mixed up in my head, but the basic math is that the savings to the participants would exceed the plant board's loss in revenue. And if that was simply made up, the plant board would be whole. They would have as much revenue as if the project didn't exist as they do today. But Burns didn't acknowledge that at all. They also encouraged the plant board to move to a rate design that charged customers for, charged all customers for their peak demand usage each month, and as well as their energy charges. And I think they were, to my mind, confusing the issue and not addressing the specifics of what we were talking about. And also they made common arguments that utilities make about how net metering is subsidized by other ratepayers, but didn't acknowledge the benefits that it can be providing also. They maybe had one sentence acknowledging that we discussed the benefits in our report, but then they didn't even take the time to rebut those benefits as we described them. They noted that, and the plant board has noted that the KYMEA is building a 54 megawatt solar facility in Western Kentucky. However, Burns discounted any capacity value from this 20 megawatt project, yet the KYMEA ascribes a 50% capacity value to the solar array that they're planning to build. And so we're planning a detailed formal response that we can share with the utility and with the agencies. And we're also planning a higher level, like op-ed to go in the local newspaper, and that's something that we can share that the general public and our local officials can access. But the dynamic of, I mean, to the extent, it's kind of an unknown how we can persuade the local board members of the utility and its management. And it, the whole process is sort of an experiment in how do we move an idea against a utility that doesn't really want to do it, but is potentially influenced, can be influenced by the mayor and the judge and their community.
Right, we had a couple of comments flashing up on the screen. Does anybody want to contribute? Rob Perry?
Andrew, it's interesting what you're describing in Kentucky and the, you know, the KYMEA. I mean, it sounds like in a way they want to control all the facilities, including every solar installation. I mean, they're installing that the 54 megawatt system in some municipal utility or maybe some municipal utility territory, right? Isn't that their constituency as municipal utilities?
Well, in fact, they're just building it on some land in Western Kentucky that's not actually within the territory of any of their members. It's being built like a merchant plant.
Huh, okay. I mean, have you looked at sort of, well, I don't know if this would be worthwhile, but you know, I'm in Massachusetts. And they have two municipal utility organizations that I think are analogs to KYMEA. One of them is Energy New England and the other is MWEC. I forget exactly what MWEC stands for. But Energy New England has been really pretty proactively pivoting their services to support a whole array of efficiency measures, new power plant, renewable power sources and the like. And my sense is that they've been able to protect and even expand their turf as a consequence. I mean, they've been doing a lot around electric vehicle charging and trying to build that into the capacity. And happy to, you know, convene further on, you know, offline on this, because this is an area as Beacon Climate very, very active in.
Yeah, I'm really interested to learn more about what other, what any progressive municipal utilities might be doing around the country. So I'd be glad to learn more about that. One of the arguments we've made is that this project could be done, a similar project could be done in every one of KYMEA's communities. And it would help all of their local governments and schools reduce their costs, which is a good thing. And further, KYMEA is trying to entice other municipal utilities to join them. And so it would be a nice carrot or a nice incentive for a town that's not currently a KYMEA member for KYMEA to say, hey, we'll support you developing these local resources that can reduce costs for your public agencies. We're nice people who want to do good things for your community.
Go ahead, Baird. Baird Brown, did you have something to say?
I didn't actually raise my hand or anything, but I'm not quite sure how I got called on, but I was just looking at I have a summary here of the utility laws of all 50 states, and I was looking at Kentucky, and it's sort of as bad as it can get. it sounds like you have essentially a political problem, and more forces you can raise, as some other folks have been saying, that to move the large, you know, your co-op of co-ops to change its mind, or your municipal of municipals rather, to is the best approach. But I mean, everything you said makes great sense, and you have my deep sympathy.
Thank you.
Peter, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, this is interesting to me on another level, which is that in Connecticut, where I live, there's a cooperative of cooperatives that has about six municipal utilities that are a part of it. And then there's one or two that are independent. And they, you know, I don't know that much about them, but I do know a little bit. And they all seem to be kind of different from each other. And that, like, one of them seems to be entirely, one of these municipal utilities seems to be entirely focused on lowest price possible and greening their supply, reducing their demand doesn't seem to be a big part of what they're thinking about. Another, the cooperative of cooperatives, which is called Connecticut Electric Energy Municipal Co-op, CMEC, seems to be a little more progressive. They have a sustainability officer. They definitely have put up some of their own utility scale solar. But I'm told that they don't allow any residential net metering, which is pretty common, you know, which is allowed in utility territory here. So it's a very mixed bag, and I'm still trying to figure it out, to be honest with you.
Okay.
If you wanted, but just by the way, if you wanted, I could get you in touch with the sustainability officer of CMEC if you thought that would be of any help.
Oh, yes, I would appreciate that.
Okay, let me make a note. I can send it to, should I send it to Sierra and she'll get it to you, or?
Sure.
Or maybe it's, maybe you're, okay, sure. Okay.
Sierra's okay with that.
Very good.
Anybody else?
I have a question for really anybody on the call here as well, but I'm curious, you know, the group's opinion on the environmental social governance, you know, focus that is, I think, is increasing, and in my view, municipalities would have a significant interest in that type of movement, at least as it relates to the finance and investment, you know, community. You know, what's the shouldn't they be moved by or be acting a little bit more urgently because of what I think is the growing ESG impact?
Anybody?
So that's sort of a very relevant topic, and it's something maybe Sierra at some point, I've been doing a small study with a group of Tufts students on essentially the decision-making process in municipalities with respect to climate action. And it's really a study that's guided to, you know, for startups to how to navigate the municipal and municipal utility environment, as to how to help the government. I mean, really, it goes to the governance issue in the face of a climate threat, and governance, not just with regard to the climate threat, but climate justice as well. It certainly, from this small study, it certainly varies across the country. And the one thing that does seem to be coming up is that if the town has sort of taken measures to put a climate action plan in place, it's able to work a lot more efficiently and effectively. You know, it's sort of an obvious statement, in a way, or an obvious finding, but it's pretty clear that means that the town is starting to actually, they have to recognize the process, they have to fundamentally change some of their decision-making practices.
Well, bringing that up, tomorrow our panel is going to be on environmental justice. So hopefully you can make it, all of you. So, all right, Jerry Braun.
Yeah, I almost hesitate to offer this coming from California, but I think it, because I'm not sure that, you know, California's municipal utilities are necessarily a model for, you know, for what's going on anywhere else. But one thing that has come up recently that I think might be relevant, and that is the Sacramento Municipal Utility District, which is a large municipal utility, has started a process to determine how they are going to become a carbon neutral electric utility by 2030. And one of the significant things in their, you know, thinking currently is that they want to, you know, they're looking at their future resource mix, and obviously it needs to be renewable and zero carbon. Their previous perspective on on-site solar and community solar and things like that has not been very positive. But in thinking through this goal of getting to zero carbon, they have, I think it looks like they've realized that they need to encourage and take credit for and take advantage of, behind the meter solar projects and projects that are third party owned within the in the community. And they have they want to basically double the amount of that kind of solar that is happening. And again, I don't know that this is a model that would be applicable elsewhere, but they're serious about it. And it might be worth just taking a look at it. I can send a link to their, you know, some of their planning, you know, presentations and so forth that, you know, indicate how they're thinking about this. And, you know, it might be just worth, if not Andrew, maybe some of the others who might be interested in using this as kind of a, you know, a reference point, something like that.
I'd be very interested to see it. Yeah, thank you.
Anybody else?
Yeah, this is Jeff Hinsky. Who is the KYMEA accountable to? How is their board? Is it an elected board? Is it appointed by the members? I mean, it seems to me that politically is the only way this is going to get done, and the only way to do that is by threatening the board members' positions.
The KYMEA board is comprised of a representative from each of its member utilities, and they're appointed by, I guess, the boards of those utilities or their general managers. I'm not sure how they get appointed. I think at the present time, I think our critical decision makers are the Frankfurt Plant Board's management and board. If we could get them in support, I think, well, then we'd have an ally trying to push the KYMEA to be supportive. And the FPB's board are five local individuals who were appointed by the mayor and city commission. And so we're trying to use a strategy of using soft power to get the mayor and the city commissioners and the superintendents to let the Frankfurt Plant Board know, hey, we'd really like to do this, help us make this work.
And it's also important, this is Walt, it's also important to note that the regulatory authority lies exclusively in the local distribution utilities world. KYMEA doesn't have an approval role inside the project. We would clearly want them to be cooperative because they'll clearly need to plan for to adjust to the shift in load, but they don't have an approval role.
Peter Millman, you had a question there.
No, I forgot to take my hand down.
Okay.
Used to do that in high school too.
Your arm must have gotten really tired. All right. Any other comments, Evan?
This is Kathy, and with the discussion about needing some political support, I see that Kentucky State University is in Frankfort, and if you tie that in with the environmental justice, they have a school of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. They also have a Green Society as a student organization. You might be able to get some interest and support from the university students that would come out publicly in favor of what you're trying to do.
That's a very good suggestion. And we did not choose to include the KSU as one of the project participants because the FPB has a municipal rate class, and that's defined as including the city, the county, and the public school districts. And so we felt that this project was threatening enough or ambitious enough that we wanted to put boundaries on it. And so adding KSU's load to the project, we felt would maybe be pushing the boundaries too far. But that's a good suggestion that we reach out to sympathetic groups on the campus for support.
Anybody else?
Andrew, a question also is to what, I know Kentucky is coal country. To what degree are the dynamics between the coal industry and workforce and jobs play with what, you know, interact?
I don't think that's too much of a dynamic in our case, apart from maybe some people just having the lingering resistance to solar, to renewables, because they're used to being pro-coal. But Frankfort's not a coal mining, in the coal mining area. So I don't think that's a major issue. I wanted to ask you all a question. In terms of how we've decided to focus this proposal in targeting it to these four agencies, using virtual net metering versus some other mechanism. From your all's experience, do you think that's a good approach? Just if you have any thoughts about those issues, I'd appreciate hearing what you think.
Yeah, this is Robert Perry. Sorry, I didn't respond when you called on me, Sierra. I had to take a call. I'm in California, you know, which is definitely a different regulatory environment. But I'll tell you, even here, it's really frustrating, and it's kind of radicalized me to a point. And I would suggest now you're looking to build a 20 megawatt solar plant and then share the energy amongst these school properties. You know, in California, most schools have tons of, you know, parking lot space and rooftop solar to more than cover their load. And with the emergence of vehicle grid integration technologies, school buses, their duty cycle really fits solar well, because midday they're usually just sitting there. You can charge them up and they can be fully charged, you know, to take the kids home and then pick them up in the morning. And there's also a lot of capacity that could be used to help, you know, reduce overall load and possibly even completely operate independently from the grid. So you know, I know people like to use a lot of carrots, but you might want to explore you know, bringing out a stick. What I've been saying is, in the absence of leadership, the market will provide a solution. And there's a lot of investment capital out there that's looking at energy as a service, providing turnkey solutions as energy as a service. And, you know, there is a possibility that, you know, you could site the solar at the schools, have the school, you know, X more solar than the utility would allow, to and dedicated towards using charging the school buses, and really, you know, present the utility with the option of, you know, we don't really need you. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the, you know, in California, solar is pretty ubiquitous, and I know it's more complicated, you know, on the East Coast, but I think, you know, these are the types of things that, you know, are worth exploring and that can really kind of provide some leverage to the utility, because, you know, talking nice doesn't seem to be working. Anyway.
I appreciate that.
This is Kevin Danke. I agree with that. I think that that point about just going in there and doing something that you can do anyway, assuming you can do it, some behind the meter project will ultimately force their hands. You know, another possibility is obviously to look at resiliency. Now, with the project you're describing, it's not, you know, behind the meter, and so you don't really have, you know, a storage, microgrid potential necessarily. But if you could find a way to integrate your project into something that builds resiliency, I mean, that's the hot topic, as we know, you know, and on a lot of people's tongues. It's something that, you know, 3 years ago people weren't talking about at all, and now everybody talks about it. So I think if there's a way you can incorporate that, that could really help. Also, then, you know, the idea of teaming up with people, getting prepared to apply for grants, you know, get the whole process together, a whole proposal together, and then use the political, you know, arena to say, look, we're ready to get grant money to do a lot of what we plan to do here. And you, utility, are really the ones that are standing in our way. So, I mean, things like that, I think, could help, along with all of the other great suggestions that everybody has suggested. I think the project that you're proposing is really, you know, an excellent one, and I wish you luck.
Thank you.
Baron, do you have something to say here?
Yeah. The question about separating it out and not trying to do virtual net metering is assuming that there is the right to do each project individually, doing the project collectively with a single RFP for the kind of folks who would come in and do it for you on a power purchase agreement, and is something that you can do and probably get nearly the same price benefit as one large project in terms of their mobilization and willingness to play, because it's a larger project. And then we're working on here in Pennsylvania on some pretty creative ways to finance for nonprofit institutions that are going to have a third party tax owner for their project, but are nonetheless able to do tax exempt finance themselves. And so if you do a collective RFP, you could also do a collective financing that could reduce the cost. Our experience, our calculations suggest it's going to take about 2 cents off the price of electricity. So the, you know, there are lots of things you could do collectively, assuming there's no impediment to the individual projects.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry about that. Phone went off. Trying to figure out how to turn it off. Okay, anybody else here? All right. Well, tomorrow we have a discussion on basically around environmental justice. And Michael Walton, Michael Fladmark, and Benny Hayden are going to be the three panelists talking about green, corporate opportunity and authenticity regarding environmental justice and low-income housing. So hope you can all make it then. Great discussion today, and hope to see you all tomorrow. Thanks again, Andy. It was a very interesting and appropriate presentation.
Thank you, Sierra, and thank you. I appreciate everyone's attention and all your feedback. Really great talking with you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks all.
Hey, Frank, this is Sierra Dawn. It looks like you just called me. Yeah, no, actually I have. So yeah, we're all set now for that. But all right, thank you now. Bye. Okay, now. Elan and Sierra. Are you there? Okay. Okay, I just wanted to apologize to you for getting on your case about saying I'm sorry when you called. No, Larissa Dobriansky asked me the same thing yesterday. I'm sorry to bother you. No, then, you know, shoot, I shouldn't have said anything to Lynn about that. Well, that's an interesting point. I bet you're right. Yeah, no, they're getting nasty. I mean, everywhere in the country, it's been pretty consistent on that. So, yeah. So anyhow, yeah, I'm knee deep in boxes and cleaning bathtubs. And I think so. I mean, it looks like everything's going through. And even if it doesn't go through, I'll have a very clean house. So. Yeah, no, definitely. Okay. All right, now. Yeah, bye. Okay.
Must have said summer.